So excited today to have Joe joining me, Joe Calhoun. And I'm going to pray as we're getting the sermon going. Let's pray. God, Joe and I are far from perfect. All of us in this room, we need more of you. And so, God, we surrender. We give this time to you. Jesus, I pray you would fill each one of us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So tomorrow is Monday, and some of you are going to get up a little bit like this, and you might be thinking, the thing I don't like about my job is that I have to get up early, and that there's people there, and that I have to work a lot when I'm there. If I didn't have all that, then I wouldn't mind my job so much. A lot of people feel that way about their work. They don't maybe have the best attitude, and a lot of people's dream in our country is, I wish I got a bunch of money so I could never work again. That's a lot of folks that have that dream. If only I could do that. We think the best life possible is a life without work. But when God first created humanity, the first human he ever made, one of the first things he did for Adam was to give Adam a job. He said, I'm going to put you in a place, and I want you to work this garden. And for some of you here, like, well, I'd like my job better if it involved more gardening. Some of you maybe not. But God, when he made humanity, he made us to where a good life for us involves work. Work's a part of what we're meant to be about. But Joe, you've probably run across some folks with maybe the attitude I was talking about at first, not the best attitude about work. So what would you have to say to that?
Yes, so good morning, everybody. Good morning. So let me just tell you a little story to illustrate attitudes about work. So I grew up in this big family with seven kids, and we worked. We worked because when you have nine people in a home, there's a lot of work to be done. Whether you're cleaning the house or washing the clothes or ironing the clothes, I can iron some clothes, let me assure you. And, you know, a lot was expected of us. So whether working in the yard or working in the house, my family, you know, big family, seven kids in the family. My parents used a method of birth control that was very popular back in the 50s and 60s. It was called the rhythm method. Anybody familiar with the rhythm method? Yeah, so once they got in the rhythm, they just had a kid every year. I mean, that's the way it worked, right? And so we had this big family, but I realized, Jake, that we had the wrong attitude about work. We were working for ourselves. It was all about us. It was all about being recognized for our work. It was all about, look at how hard I'm working. Look at me, you know, aren't I special? I'm a hard worker. And that's a wrong attitude about work. I learned, after coming to Christ 30 plus years ago, and I'm still learning this morning as I ponder these thoughts, I think today, and you come up and give me a better way of thinking about it, the Bible says that we're not supposed to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. It doesn't say we're not to think highly of ourselves. So I think the proper attitude about work is to say that I have been equipped by God with the talent to do everything that he calls me to do to serve him and to serve other people. And I think that's the right attitude toward work. To realize that everybody here, and I know a lot of these people pretty well now, everybody here is uniquely gifted and uniquely talented, and you, by developing those talents, can fulfill the purposes that God has for you, that you can fulfill the good works that the Bible said were prepared in advance for you to do. So we're not working just for ourselves. We're working to serve God and others, and by doing that, it best serves us. It's an amazing thing. It's the old saying, he who cuts his own wood is twice warmed. If you've ever gone out and cut wood, you're warmed when you cut it, and then you're warmed when you sit in front of the fire. If you work as unto the Lord, which we're called to do, then you're blessed as you work unto the Lord with excellence, and then you're blessed when you get paid to do it. So I think the right attitude about work is to understand we work as unto the Lord. We realize we've been given everything we need to serve God's purposes, to serve other people. And then lastly, Jake, to make the point a little more clearly, we just have the right attitude about work. It drives me up a wall when I hear people say, I have to go to work. I quit saying I have to go to work even before I became a Christian, because I just realized that was the wrong attitude. If you've ever been out of work, you know how wonderful it is to have a job and to get paid for doing something that serves other people. I don't say I have to go to work. I say I... They got it. I get to go to work. Where are you going? I get to go to work. And just those little kind of nuances start changing the way we think, and it starts impacting other people around us. Drives me up a wall when people say, thank God it's Friday. I go, oh, isn't that a good motivational pep talk for everybody that works with you? It's been terrible working with you all week, and now it's Friday, and I get to go be with somebody I really care about. I mean, isn't that a great witness for people, Jake, you know? So those are a couple attitudes that, you know, come to mind.
So what we're talking about here, having a different attitude about work, but this idea of Adam was told by God, I've made you for something, and now do it. And when I think about that, I think about calling. You mentioned that word too, but how do you figure out what your calling is? What is that about?
Yeah. Yeah, let me say one other thing and then answer that. In our study this morning, in our Bible study group, we were talking about how God uses difficulties in our life to develop our character. And we were talking about how much character is developed at work. And if we lose sight of the fact that God, first and foremost, cares about our character, now, he's never going to give us anything beyond what we can handle, but he wants us to grow in character. I wish I had $100 for every time my wife said to me, because it's been 1,000 times, I'll come home and talk about some challenge I'm having at work, and she'll say, so what character is God trying to develop in you? Because God is in the character development business. He wants us to be like Jesus. And guess what? We got a long way to go. At least I do. I got a long way to go. So when these opportunities come to show patience, to show determination, to show love, to show whatever character it is that God's trying to develop, don't forget that. Now, if we have the right attitude, which is foundational, we can pursue this notion of calling. I think back when I was trying to figure out my calling, Jake, I realized that there's three elements to this that are really helpful. One, in all the jobs I've done, and I've done 50 different jobs in my life, there are some things that you're just naturally suited to do, and you sense that I think I have some talent to do this. I'm probably gifted to do this. This comes easier to me than something else. So I think that a big part of it is, what are you good at? Which is competence. Now, just because that I'm thinking about a bunch of people I know in here that do some great work. You know, you had the talent to do that job, but you developed competence. You, through your education, through your experience, you know, we need to work at this. It's just not like one day you're going to go out and be a, you know, professional football player. You know, they worked at it in grade school and junior high and high school and college, and maybe they made it to the pros. The school is never out for the pro. You're always learning. Even Jesus, when he was 12, it said, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus grew. We're called to be like Jesus. We need to. So we grow physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally. We grow in character. We grow in competence. And then I think, Jake, you know, I look at what you do and Bob here, you know, what you guys do as our coaches. You guys have a passion to do this. You guys love doing this. I know it feels like work a lot, but there's a lot of time that doesn't feel like work. It just feels like a labor of love.
And that's, yeah, definitely.
That's another good indication that you've found your sweet spot. And then the other element, which I think so many people just forget about, is there's got to be a need for what you do. This is not all just self-centered. Well, you know, I love doing this, and I'm good at doing this, so I'm going to do something that has no value to the world. It's got to be something that provides value to people. And so it's got to meet a need.
Yeah, okay. So where those three things meet, where we're competent, passionate, and where there's other people have needs.
Yeah, another way to say it would be, what do you love to do, what are you good at doing, and where can you make a living?
Okay. So within calling, we have this idea, too. Sometimes the awesome thing about God is he knows us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes we don't actually know the competencies that we have. Sometimes God sees talents in us we've not had the courage to take hold of. Sometimes God sees parts of our heart that we're passionate about that we don't even know yet, or some need that we can meet that we haven't seen yet. So as you're looking at all three of those are great starting points, but you're also opening up to God and saying, God, what do you see? How do you think I'm competent? What would be the most fulfilling thing for me? Where do other people have a need that you could use me in? So we're going to look in the Bible and talk about this idea of what has God made us for. Romans chapter 12 says, for just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members and all have the same function. So what he's talking about there is the human body. All of us have a human body. Our eyes do different things than our feet. And I'm glad, you know, my nose is far away from my feet and things like that. You know, so we have different parts of our body. They have different resources, different things they're supposed to be doing. And they're very suited for very different things. So he says, each of us are just like that. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. And that could be a whole other sermon about the way we should belong to each other. But Jesus says, I designed you to fit together as a body. And then this is what he says, we have different gifts. Now, some of you out there, you have a very strong faith and you believe the Bible. And so when the Bible tells you you need to repent, then you feel guilty and you repent. Or when the Bible tells you to feed the hungry, you go and feed the hungry. But some of you believe the Bible as long as it says something that makes you feel guilty. But I would challenge all of us to believe the Bible on the positive side too. The Bible is telling us today every single one of us has gifts. God has gifted you. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe Romans 12. So God has given you some sort of gift. It says according to the grace given to each one of us, a gift from God. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. It is teaching, you can probably guess already, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Listen to these last three. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So he starts to talk about have this passion, not just to be like, oh, I'm really strong, so I guess I'll lift big stuff. Because that's what I have to do, because I'm strong. Like, it's this idea of do it with passion. However God made you, whatever he made you good at, care about it and do it well. So we hear these different things out of the Bible telling us each one of us has a role to play. Yeah. But I'm a person who loves steps. I'm always pushing my small group. What's the next thing you're going to do about it? Yeah. So you've got some good steps for us, Joe. Talk us through that.
Yeah, before we get there, Jake, I want to talk back about this. You know, the Bible says we shouldn't think about ourselves more highly than we ought. So we ought to think of ourselves not too highly, like it's all about me and look at me and look how hard I work. And man, you don't know how hard I'm working. I mean, I don't know how many times I said that over the years as I'm trying to develop the right attitude about work. You know, that's not the right attitude. You know, it's not about us. But it's also not about us putting ourselves down. Did anybody enjoy Jerry Kirk last Sunday? Could have got a show of hands. Anybody enjoy Jerry? I mean, you know, just think about, yeah, I mean, thank God for Jerry Kirk. So Jerry Kirk is 85 years young. Jerry Kirk's 85. He's got a really good friend of his, Bill Dunn, who still runs, still works with a company in town called Dunn Construction, which is one of the largest construction companies in this area. And Bill Dunn is still working, and he's 94. So he said, Jerry said, whenever I get around Bill, he said, Bill's always going, Jerry, come on, man, we still got work to do. We still got work to do, you know? God made us for a purpose. We got work to do. And that's that 94-year-old encouraging that 85-year-old to keep after it. See, I think there's a big problem in this society of ours where people have this wrong attitude about work. And another one of those wrong attitudes about work is that, you know, I only work for money. If I didn't have to work for money, I wouldn't be working anymore. Well, what would you be doing? I guess I'd just be throwing that money around. And is that really what God has for you? Is that God's best for you? That you're going to, what are you going to do? You're going to get on these tour buses and go to visit every casino in the United States? I mean, this is what some older people are doing. We are made to work, and I don't mean just working at a job. I mean the wonderful older people in here, and I'm quickly becoming one of the older people in this room. You know, the people that care for their grandkids or their kids or the people that, you know, are encouraging and teaching and mentoring the next generation. We're all called to work, and I think that as many people maybe think too much of themselves and beat their chest and say, look at what a hard worker I am, as the ones who think, you know, there isn't much that I have to contribute. You know, I tried to give my best. I tried to make a difference here, but they didn't appreciate it. My boss put me down. I worked for a bad boss, and there's plenty of them. And, you know, so I think I'll just, because I was mistreated by somebody a couple times, you know, I think I'll just give up on my calling in life. I think I'll just give up on what God called me to do. I don't think I will think positively about myself and the truth that God has given me everything that I need to fulfill my purpose to do what He's called me to do, to serve other people and to serve Him. Because by serving other people, you are serving Him. And I think it's as big a problem that we think too lowly of ourselves than thinking too highly of ourselves. You know, Jerry Kirk said, hey, Joe, quit thinking about how old you are, he told me. Don't even think about it anymore. Just think, what does God want me to do today? How does God want to use me today? God, give me the strength to do it, and let me do it for your glory. That's the right way to think, he said. And how many of you struggle a little bit, you don't have to hold up your hand, by maybe thinking too lowly of yourself? You don't think you have much talent. Maybe you were put down, you know, your parents probably, you know, for most of your formative years told you you were nothing, you were going to amount to nothing, you were never going to do anything good. I mean, you get that long enough, Jake, and pretty soon it just beats you down. And God is here to lift you up today. And to let you know that you have everything it takes to fulfill the purposes that God has for you. So, what are the steps to that? They're really quite simple. Number one, identify, and it's a lifelong journey, keep identifying what you're really good at. And we'll talk about this with Jake and Bob as an example in the workshop that's coming up next Saturday morning. You are gifted. God has so gifted you. We've worked with over 4,000 people to help them identify their talents and their strengths and how to identify them and develop in them and then use them to make their unique contribution, to do the good works that God has prepared for you to do. And I don't know if people have been lying to you. I don't know if the enemy's been lying to you. I don't know who's been lying to you. But anybody that's been telling you that your best is behind you, it's a lie. God wants to use you till the day you die and it gets geometrically better. And if it's not getting better and better, you've bought into something that isn't true. Some of the most beautiful years in people's lives, and when they have the wisdom of some of these mature people that I'm looking at that speak life into the next generation. And if we're too busy sitting home watching somebody else live their life through a TV show instead of living our own life, we're missing out on what God has for us. He is not done with you. Say it. He's not done with me. The best is yet to come. God grant it. In the name of Jesus. So that we identify our talents, we develop our talents, and we use them to make our unique contribution.
Very good. And just like Joe was saying, this is something that you can do over and over. You know, a good example of this just came to my mind was Chad. Knows a lot about masonry work, was doing some masonry work here at the church, continues to do that stuff. But then he also started coming on Wednesday night, and now, you know, slowly kind of grew of talking to the guys, getting closer to the guys, and now he's a small group leader. And just a minute ago, I met a guy here, Michael, who's been coming for a few weeks, and I thought, you know, this guy, Mike, will be better off meeting Chad than meeting me, to be honest. Like, so I introduced him to Chad, because that's where Chad's at. Chad's a great small group leader. So sometimes you start using one that you've identified, and then God shows you another thing that you can do, and another thing that you can do. So it can be really good. So tell us a little bit about this workshop on Saturday, this first step, how to help with it.
Yeah, thanks. So there is a revolution that's happening in our world, and it's a strengths revolution, and it's high time that it arrived. Don Clifton, who created the Strengths Finder that everybody that goes to the workshop, including, you know, you and Bob, completed, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. We need to focus on what is right with people instead of obsessing about what's wrong with them. And that is true not only of ourselves, it's true for other people. And that's what this is all about. Do you want to join the revolution? Just think, what will happen when you start thinking about what's right with you and what's right with others instead of focusing on what's wrong with you or what's wrong with others? Can you think about the impact that'll make? And I don't care where we were brought up and you know what people said to us, and I got my share of them just like you do. Trust me, there's a revolution underway, and we want to invite you to join this revolution. The revolution is getting really excited about your talents. We're going to start with a simple little assessment that we ask you guys to complete, and the assessment takes about 45 minutes or so. It's Gallup, you know, they ask you a bunch of questions, and then they do pairings of a whole bunch of different statements. They say, I really like working inside, I kind of like working inside, I really like working outside, I really like work. Kind of like working outside, neither or both, and don't be afraid to check neither or both because they're looking for your preferences. And as soon as you answer those 180 paired questions with a timer, you know, that you got to make quick decisions, and when you answer those, it's going to tell you your top five talents based on 34 talents that Gallup has recognized with over 30 years of study. And the chances that somebody would have Bob's top five or your top five? 1 in 33 million. So people are immediately going to be able to print out their 1 in 33 million report and see how unique you are. Now what this does is it supports work that's been going on this church for a long time. How many of you have been to a shape class? Yeah, it's like that. We just take another cut on it and go deeper. Everybody in here is so unique. With the talents you have, the passion you have, the experiences you have, the education you have, you are so unique. These just help us understand your uniqueness in very positive ways.
So let's go ahead. We've got Bob and I's results here. Let's look at Bob first, Joe.
Let's look at Bob's results.
Tell us about Bob, yeah.
Okay. So Bob, anybody ever noticed Bob's positivity? You know, a Bob is a guy who sees the glass not half full, he sees it about 7/8 full. You know, he is a glass is full kind of guy, not an empty kind of guy. Bob has also got this talent of connectedness. He sees the way everything happens for a reason. You ever notice that a few things rattle Bob? Because he knows God's at work. All things happen for good to those that love the Lord and are called to his purpose. He is not surprised by anything that happens here. It's the right church for him, trust me, right? He's a developer. He loves to see the potential in others and develop the potential in others. He's a learner. He loves getting immersed in a good book, and he's got empathy. Let me read you just a quick little thing about his positivity, and I want some audience reaction to this. Instinctively, Bob recognizes when people around him can benefit by his approval and compliments. He spontaneously senses a person's need to hear kind, encouraging, and supportive words. He enjoys celebrating the contributions, strengths, discoveries, or victories of an individual. How many has Bob ever impacted like this? Hold up your hand. Bob, would you look around? Bob, stand up. Keep your hands up. Stand up. That is Bob's positivity at work. It's a beautiful thing. And you know what? God is no respecter of persons. He's given you talents that are every bit as unique and as impactful as Bob's. They're different, but they're impactful. Let me read this empathy really, really quick. So, empathy. People usually appreciate your willingness not to discount or belittle their emotions, ideas, or reactions to events. Anybody ever notice that about Bob? How accepting he is, how he doesn't belittle or discount your emotions, your ideas, or your reactions. They sense you really understand what they're feeling, thinking, and experiencing at that moment. Anybody ever get some empathy from Bob over the years? This is the exact same way your talents are impacting others around you, and I think a lot of people just aren't aware of it.
Yeah, and there's so much insight. As you're looking through this, Bob and I shared our results with each other, so I get to see things on paper that I already have experienced with Bob. By the way, Bob looks for the good in other people, is excited about the good in other people, encourages the good in other people, even to ignoring his own needs and things like
right.
that. I see that in Bob.
Right, let's look at yours real quickly if
okay.
we could.
Yeah.
I've known Bob for almost 30 years, and so it was really great to know Bob in this way. And I couldn't have chosen which talents I think were his, even though I've done this thousands of times. But now that I have it in front of me, I know it was really fun getting to know you, Jake, because you're a very, very talented guy. Jake has got strategic. It's very good for him. When people feel stuck, Jake is really good at saying, but you could do this, or you could do this, or you could do this. And he's really even good at figuring out which path might be best. That's strategic. I love his ideation. By nature, you are apt to be the person that teammates, classmates, or coworkers pull into a brainstorming session. Why? Because you have the assertiveness to speak up when you think of something. You also generate more ideas than most people do. You're creative, you're imaginative. You're not embarrassed to think out loud or to verbally process. If you're stuck in some way, shape, or form, what a beautiful thing to have a coach that can come alongside you and say, you know what? This might be the way that you could consider going. Let's figure this out together. In addition to that, he's got a responsibility, which means if Jake says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You can count on him. Now, we all make mistakes, but yeah. He's a guy of very
high
integrity.
I'll just feel really guilty when I mess up is also what that means.
Yeah, well, and then I know we got to keep moving here, but he's also got relator, which means he loves to be in relationship with people. It's very likely that you enjoy the companionship of individuals who tell you what they plan to accomplish in the coming weeks, months, or years. Once you know their gifts and their goals, you can help them reach their objective, and few things please you more than this.
So like the whole last half of my small group is like, tell me your goal for the next week and how I can pray for you. And that's my favorite part of the small group.
Yeah, what a gifted couple coaches that we have. Could you give those guys a big round of applause?
We don't have time to go into it too much. I've been reading over those five things for me. It's feel like it shed a lot of light to me on just things I need to do more of, things I need to get other people around me for, to help with. So if you're interested in taking that course this Saturday morning, it's going to be from 9 to noon with Chick-fil-A at the end, which is an awesome way to end a meeting. You can sign up right where Joe's at. or he's moving it down to here too. And it costs $15. May was not making any money off of this. It's because the Gallup assessment costs that. So if you want to do that, just sign up. You don't even have to pay today. You just have to put your mark down there that you're going to put $15 in the offering plate at some point. Maywood will just cover you on that. And so put your email address in a way that we can actually read it. And we'll email you out that assessment so you can take it before you come. And then when we come, we're going to talk through all sorts of stuff. I'm excited to hear what Joe has for us. Things about your balcony and your basement of your strengths, kind of the positive side and the negative sides of them. So it's going to be a really great workshop to be a part of. So if you can be a part of it, please sign up for that. I do want to talk to you, though. Maybe you're already on those three steps of figuring out what your gifts and talents and calling is and then developing it and making an impact, contribution with it. Maybe you're like, I already know what God wants me to do. Last Sunday, I was in Sunday school downstairs. We answered these little multiple choice questions. You don't have to read that. That's a lot of text. But I glanced over at the person next to me, and they had circled B. Let me read you what B says here. It says, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone and start doing what I know Jesus has been calling me to do. So I wouldn't be much of a coach if I didn't, you know, jump on that, you know, like blood in the water for a shark. Of like somebody knows what Jesus wants them to do, and they want to do it, and they're ready. So I just thought, okay. So right, as soon as class is done, I go up to this guy, and I'm like, so what is it that Jesus has called you to do? And he tells me, you know, I've got a little bit of clean time, and I know God is calling me to help other people get out of addiction. And so I was like, well, great, man. Well, if you start coming every Wednesday night, we've got groups that a lot of guys in addiction are coming to. If you start coming every Wednesday until you got about a year clean, then at that point, then we'll start you apprenticing with somebody, and then we'll get you leading a small group. Like, it really won't be long from now, and you'll be leading a small group. You'll be impacting people. You'll have that calling fulfilled. So he heard that, and I was excited to come Wednesday. I was like, is he going to show up? Is he not? So he came in late, but he got there Wednesday, right as we're about to start. I was really excited to see him, got to talk to him as I was going up to the room. And when he's there, so cool. So he shows up, and I was telling him he's got to get a little bit of clean time or a little bit more time and stuff like that before he can lead a group. But right away that night, we had a new guy come, and we've got these little metal chairs. But this new guy was there, and he prayed to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. He said during the middle of class, I need more God in my life. And so it was like, well, do you want more God in your life right now? And we prayed together as a class. The guy accepted Jesus. But this guy from Sunday morning who had showed up for the first time, was like, why don't you come to Maple House? And even though Maple House was full, he was able to get him a bed at Maple House and make an impact on that guy right from the very first week. The reality of where we live is there's a lot of people that could be in those metal folding chairs. There's a lot of people ready to accept Jesus. And I think Jesus is honestly waiting for other people to say, I know what God wants me to do. I'm going to start doing it. I think Jesus is eager to get you started making an impact on other people. And it'll take time. It'll take development. This guy will have to keep coming to have more and more of an impact. But the road is really out there for each one of us. God wants to use you. God has given you gifts, and he wants to use them to help other people. You get to find those gifts with Jesus. You get to develop those gifts with Jesus, and then you get to use them with Jesus. That's the whole model. So today, as the worship team's coming up, it's our chance to respond. It's your chance to say, where are you at on that spectrum? You say, Jesus, show me what to do. Or Jesus, help me to develop in what you want me to do. Or Jesus, help me to be doing the ministry that you have me to do. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Joe. I thank you for the opportunity this Saturday to get an awesome workshop to help us find our talents. God, I pray for each one of us in the room that we would know the gifts that you've given us, we would find our spot in this body, and we would glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.